Shakespeare and Company was founded in 1978, and since then they've been presenting world-class, classical, and contemporary theater with a focus on none other than the Bard of Avon in Lenox, Massachusetts. This season includes three Shakespeare plays, The Merchant of Venice, Two Gentlemen of Verona, and Twelfth Night, plus regional premieres by three women playwrights, Or by Liz Duffy Adams, The Taming by Lauren Gunderson, and Ugly Lies the Bone by Lindsay Ferrantino. That's a bracing drama fresh from an acclaimed off-Broadway production. Additional titles include Sotto Voce by Pulitzer winner Nilo Cruz, and The Return of Stephen Wolfert in Cry Havoc, also a nude adaptation of Afra Behn's Emperor of the Moon by Jenna Ware. Ariel Bach and Jonathan Croy are serving as co-interim artistic directors at Shakespeare & Company, and they join us now, along with Daniela Varone, who is directing Ugly Lies the Bone. Thank you all for being here today. How are you keeping track of all of this?
That's why there are two of us. It takes at least two.
So it's a great season, a lot of amazing stuff on the schedule. Let's start with the Shakespeare plays. How are they selected for this season? What makes them right for now?
Well, the Merchant of Venice project has been in discussion for several years now. You know, the way that we go about this tends to be a long conversation among a lot of people. And so we had been chatting about it for years, and it just seemed like, given everything going on in the world today, Merchant of Venice was topical, it's relevant, it's an exciting piece, it's a beautiful script.
And we were so excited to have both Tina and Johnny Epstein to collaborate together.
Absolutely.
Again, that seemed like a really nice fit for the season.
Yeah.
So. And then Two Gentlemen of Verona, you're directing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Two Gentlemen of Verona is a play that we've actually, it's one of Shakespeare's plays that we've never mounted as a main stage production before. So it was an opportunity for us to try on another one of the scripts. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely little play. It's actually a delightful comedy right up until the end, which is a little problematic, which is why it's known as one of the problem plays. But I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity for our young actors. The leads are all young, and it should be a lot of fun for them as well.
And then also Twelfth Night.
That's our Northeast Regional Tour production, which has been all up and down the coast, the East Coast here.
Yes.
Since February,
yes,
and is going to play outdoors at the Mount.
In this absolutely stunning location, this hillside below her stables, which has just been renovated, among the trees, in the grass. You cannot imagine a better way to enjoy an afternoon in the Berkshires than lying in the grass listening to Shakespeare.
And Twelfth Night, it's an hour and a half, a beautiful comedy, great to bring your family or children to the outdoor setting too as well. It's lovely.
When directing for the outdoors, what do you have to do differently?
Wear
Make
mosquito
them talk
repellent.
Louder.
Yeah. Project.
Yes. And sunscreen. And bring an umbrella
bug spray.
Just in case. You know, honestly, it's the scale of it. It's the fact that the surrounding dwarfs anything happening in a little tiny stage. And so encouraging them to live in the fullness of their emotional lives and, you know, really, really push the ideas and live larger. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a lot of jargon, but it really is true. You have to live on a larger scale, I think, when you're out among the trees.
There are also the contemporary offerings all by women playwrights. Was that deliberate?
Well, Nilo Cruz is not a woman,
well,
so almost all.
Right.
But yes, we did. I think we're very aware that women playwrights get short shrift these days. And so we really, although we were looking for great plays.
Of course.
You know, we're happy when a lot of them are by women. Yes.
So tell us about Or by Liz Duffy Adams.
Ooh.
Or is a delicious play. It's a comedy. But it's a comedy that has a whole lot of substance and heart to it. Mm-hmm. It's about Afra Behn, one of the first major female playwrights. So there's a lovely little sort of coming full circle in a season that features women playwrights that are contemporaries of ours. It takes place on a night in which she is trying to write a play, and it kind of shifts through reality. And there are three actors, one of whom is the magnificent Todd Randolph, playing Afra Behn. And then the other two actors play a number of people in her life. It's delightful. It's sexy. It's puckish. It's fun. It's smart.
Yeah, the other two people in her life were King Charles and...
Heard of him?
that's right. And the orange seller.
Nell Gwynn.
Nell Gwynn, right. Yeah. Beautiful and memorable as a courtesan and an actress. So, yeah.
The Taming is by Lauren Gunderson. That's open now.
Yes.
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 Very funny, political, witty, and with fabulous performances by the three young actresses that are playing each of the roles.
It's a great premise. The idea is a beauty queen decides that she really does want to save the country, and she does it by locking a hardcore liberal and a hardcore conservative in a hotel room until they talk to each other. It's really
funny.
With
no cell phones.
And smart, and I think has a lot to say about, you know, our current situation in an election year. Although I got to say, it's hard to do a comedy this year. There's so much going on that's fairly entertaining or not.
Right. Well, and then that's what you need it for. Right?
Yeah.
You need the release at the theater.
Tonic. But Lauren Gunderson herself is such a smart playwright that it's not, although it gets silly at times, it's not a silly play. It's not a lightweight. It actually lets you think about some things.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the production by Nilo Cruz.
Sotto Voce. It's kind of a combination of a historical play and a dream play in a way. It centers on a woman, an elderly writer, and her memories of a lover, a German Jewish lover that she had, who was on the ship. That was turned away from Cuba and from the United States.
The St. Louis.
And but it sort of brings her into the present. The main character, the second to her, is the young man who's researching all of this, who's Cuban and Cuban Jewish. Mm. And so there's a lot of her memory, which is the sort of dream part, and then his sort of connection with her, which happens mostly by telephone. Not in reality, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful play and a very nice vehicle for Annette Miller, who's the lead actress in it, and playing the poet, the woman poet. Mm.
Yeah. And Cry Havoc returns?
Yes, Stefan Wolfert. It's we fell into something in planning this season that we then embraced, that there are alliances of plays. For instance, Cry Havoc is about a man's experience as a U.S. service veteran and his struggles with PTSD and and his sort of coming around back into life. Similarly, Ugly Lies the Bone also deals with a veteran who is wrestling with, you know, sort of reassimilating into life and family. We have Or, which is about Aphra Behn, and then we have Emperor of the Moon, which was by her, or at least adapted from
Merchant
the script
of Venice.
By her.
Merchant which of Venice deals and with Sotto prejudice Voce. And Jewish issues, and Sotto Voce, which is different, but also deals with some of the same issues.
Yeah. And so, although I can't say that
we didn't plan it.
But as it began
to
happen.
When we step back and looked at it, it was like, oh.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Right.
I hesitate to say happy accident, but
right.
But it's nice. It keeps the season itself as a more cohesive whole.
Yeah.
Which... we appreciate
it. It's like a web.
Yeah.
A web.
And is the Aphra Behn adaptation by Jenna Ware, is that new or not new?
Well, it is and it isn't.
Okay. It's,
the Emperor of the Moon was another sort of Elizabethan-era comedy that was derived from the Commedia dell'arte tradition.
Got it.
And so what Jenna has done with several plays from within that sort of 150-year period is go back to the initial spirit, the original spirit of the Commedia dell'arte. And so some things are updated. It's kind of madcap fun. Mm. It's got music in it. It's great for families. It's delightful fun. And it harkens back to the original spirit of the Commedia dell'arte through a modern lens.
Shakespeare.org for showtime and ticket information about the productions we are discussing. We are also joined by Daniela Verone, who's been so patient as we wait. She's directing Ugly Lies the Bone. How do you come to direct this production at Shakespeare & Company?
Well, I'm a longtime company member and company director, and this is a play that I became aware of through Christiana Nelson, who's playing the lead, who worked with Lindsay Ferrantino, the playwright, in developing the play through many readings and a workshop production. So I had been hearing about this play, and then when I had a chance to read it, I fell in love with it, and I thought it would be a great play for us at Shakespeare & Company. And Ariel had actually read a review, or she'd read an article about it, and she'd been sort of going, oh, this sounds interesting. So it was just a very happy confluence of you know, an actress who was involved in the play, and then a play that we loved, and I think that everybody who read it in the course of the season selection thought was a very, very special play.
And it was first produced off-Broadway by Roundabout Underground. Did they commission or just produce?
I think they just produced it. And okay. It's a play that Lindsay had been developing for a couple of years over a series of readings. And she had gotten many wonderful sort of playwriting residencies. She was at the O'Neill Center with it and other such, you know, venues for developing plays. She wrote it while she was a graduate student at Yale. She actually started even before. So she's just graduated from Yale School of Drama with a master's degree. She's in her mid-20s. She's got already an amazing body of work and is really a very hot, emerging playwright.
And we have the regional premiere here.
We do.
Tell us more about the story of the play, the plot of the play.
So as John mentioned, it is a play about a veteran, and she's a U.S. servicewoman who has done 3 tours in Afghanistan when we meet her and was severely injured by an IED explosion in the last one. So we meet her after she spent 14 months in hospitals recovering and has come, quote, home to Florida, to where she's from. And she's from the Space Coast of Florida, which is the area around the Kennedy Space Center. So it's a confluence of she comes home just at the time of the final shuttle mission. The shuttle program is being shut down, so her community has changed radically. People have been laid off. People have lost their jobs. Her mother, who was reasonably functional when she left, is now in a nursing home. So she comes home having herself changed. She's suffered severe burns. 30% of her body has third-degree burns. She's been through a crucible of fire. She comes home and everything at home has changed. So it's a play about many things. You know, it looks at servicewomen. It looks at how we caretake each other, the function of family, what home means. And a very interesting aspect of the play is that in addition to seeing how she's readapting to restarting her life under very changed circumstances, the scenes where she's at home and interacting with people she had relationships with, her sister, her former boyfriend, etc., are interspersed with scenes where she is receiving a new kind of therapy at the local VA hospital, and it's a virtual reality therapy for pain. This is real, and this is something that was being developed around 5-6 years ago when the play is set. So you see those scenes.
There's a lot.
It's 85 minutes, and it's so layered. Yeah. It's one of the things that's wonderful about the play is there is so much in there, and yet it's not heavy-handed, and it's a drama with an unexpected amount of comedy in it. It's very funny, very witty.
Yes.
Yes. Beautifully
Lindsay
written.
Lindsay has a gift for pointing out the quirks in human nature, I thought. You know, it's a delightful evening, which might sound funny when you think about the subject matter.
But delightful and very moving and also delightful and funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 85 minutes, is it? So it's 85, no intermission?
No intermission.
Do you like directing a production that's sort of tight like that?
I do. And I love directing big, sprawling Shakespeare plays and huge dramas. This presents completely different challenges, and I do like it. It is tight, and that's a challenge to keep the momentum going, to do that. There are multiple locations in the play. We're doing it in a theater that has very particular needs in terms of sight lines and space. And so figuring out the challenge of how to do that, how to convey everything we want to convey rapidly and tightly. It's great. And it's like the play is kind of like a rocket. It goes very quickly.
Is there a directive from the playwright or the original production as to how to deal with the burns? Are they makeup? Are they implied? Are they discussed?
The playwright is amazingly open to what any director does with it and was not at all heavy-handed. We are doing makeup, and in fact, the actress spends 2 hours in the makeup chair for every technical rehearsal and every performance. We had a special makeup and wig designer who came from Indiana to work with us for 2 weeks to teach our makeup person how to do it, how to apply it. It's done with latex. It's a very intense process. We really want to honor the experience of veterans and people who have sustained such injuries and not pull our punches.
Right.
You know, and my feeling is these people live with their pain and their scars 24 hours a day. We can ask the audience to live with it for an hour and a half.
To look at it for
exactly.
Because I know in sometimes, like The Elephant Man, they're not supposed to use makeup, the actress to contort. And then I saw Violet in New York City, and she has a scar, but she just tells you, I have a scar on my face.
Here we actually, we have this, you see the scarring.
So it's the main character. How do you work with that actress to make her go, help her go through all of the stuff that's in the script?
Yeah. She's done a fair amount of research on her own.
Sure.
We worked with both an orthopedic surgeon and a physical therapist who came in and worked with us to help us with how this character would walk and move. She has a walker, and we do see her make a little bit of progress during the course of the play through the VR, virtual reality therapy, which is a therapy that deals with pain in an innovative way. So we worked with medical professionals to be as accurate as possible. I'm constantly reminding her that she's supposed to, like, go get a massage a couple of times a week.
Sure.
I don't think she's had time yet because she's also taking care of a 2-year-old in her spare time.
Of course she is.
But
of
course she is. but it's, you know, and we've, you know, read a lot of books, saw a lot of movies, really tried to familiarize herself with the experience of veterans in particular and burn victims and find out as much as we could. And then, you know, the actor does what the actor does. She enters psychologically into this character's life, and it comes from some mysterious place because I find her really compelling and absolutely plausible, you know, and I doubt she's ever burned more than her finger.
It seems to me that as we mentioned before, as you guys mentioned, the Shakespeare next to the new plays works perfectly well. It shows how prescient Shakespeare was. It shows the inspiration that has followed through the centuries. Does your audience agree? Or do people come just to the Shakespeare or just to the contemporary?
I think we have a fair amount of both, actually. I mean, I think we do have people who come and are very excited about the contemporary plays and are a little less thrilled about Shakespeare. And we also have people who are real Shakespeare fanatics, and that's what they come for. And then we have a sort of large group of people that see one or the other, one of each, you know.
And we throw an additional wrinkle in that we have a sort of broad-ranging company of artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are people who come to see particular actors,
right,
the work of particular directors, or...
Yeah, they might have come to see Johnny in a contemporary play a couple years ago, and now he's in a classic Shakespeare.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's a tribute to Shakespeare's impact on our society, on the way, not just within art, the way that we think, the way that we express ourselves, our use of language, that contemporary plays owe so much to what that man did in his time. You know, it's surprisingly similar, if that makes any kind of sense.
No, it makes perfect sense
it
to
does.
Me, because I noticed in Ugly Lies the Bone that there's a lot of things that playwrights do now that Shakespeare did, like the repetition and
structure,
that kind of thing, all of that. Yeah. So,
and you know, I think that the plays that John and Ariel have chosen this season are plays with grand themes, you know, huge themes, the contemporary as well as the Shakespeare. Mm. So there's that, you know, there's so many different, there's such a broad variety of contemporary plays one could choose from, but these are really plays in which the language is important and the themes are big and broad. And mm-hmm. Shakespeare's plays, of course, are full of soldiers. So here we have, you know, a contemporary play about a soldier, and she's a woman because it's now. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's such a kind of, to use an over, you know, whatever, intertextuality between the Shakespeare plays and the contemporary plays.
And he's always reminding us how important humor is, even in the really serious plays with huge serious themes and tragic things. There's always humor.
And things turn on a dime in Shakespeare, and they do in these plays as well.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, sitting here with the two of them, that the last two seasons that John and Ariel have been involved in, we have really had wonderful contemporary play choices and, you know, significantly more plays by women writers. I mean, that's been clearly on the agenda. And when you think about a Shakespeare company, you know, as John was saying, we have a wonderful company of artists. Many of them are women. There are fewer roles for Shakespeare in women when it's done traditionally.
Right.
And these contemporary plays, as in addition to being by women writers, present great opportunities for our company actresses. Mm-hmm.
To learn more about Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, and to find out about showtime and ticket information, visit shakespeare.org. Ariel, Daniela, Jonathan, thank you so much for coming in. It was great to talk with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Yeah. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.